I lost the place. Where are we exactly? We did 66 already?
67.
We did 67.1.
Okay, we didn't do the second part, okay. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Moksha Sukha Tiraskari Bhakti Yeka Labhyatvam. I'm repeating, I'm going to read again the text 67.1 because the verses are explained beginning in 67.2. So, that is obtainable only by devotional service. That it, Vaikuntha, is obtainable only by devotional service. Devotional service which eclipses the happiness of liberation is stated in these two verses. From the 15th chapter of the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Yana vrajantya gabido vachananu vadat trinvanti yena vishaya kukatak mati gnik yas tu shuta hata bagayard vibir atasaras tam stan kshipantya sharane shuta maksuhanta. To that place, Vaikuntha, do not go. Those who listen to other topics than narrations of the deeds of the killer of Agha. Worthless discussions that simply spoil their intelligence. So this is what's bad about having a TV in your house. It is very much regrettable that unfortunate persons hear such topics which are devoid of substance, and cast them down into regions of darkness where there is no shelter. Second verse. Yatcha vrajantya nimisham vishabhanu vritya dure yama yuparinak spihaniya shilak bartur mitak suyashashat katananuraga Vaiklavya Bhashpakalaya Pulaki Kritanga. To that place go those who, leaving aside the regulations of yoga, practice serving the best of the ever-vigilant lords of the universe. These devotees, whose character is admired by persons like us, are so eager to discuss with one another the amazing glories of their master that they shed tears of excitement and the hair on their limbs stands on end. That sounds like symptoms of bhava bhakti. So, okay. We are talking about that level of devotional service. Now we look at the next paragraph. Yud, the explanation of, let's see, the second verse or the first verse. Yan Vaikuntham yacha no asmakam uparistitam vrajanti. Now this is second verse, right? Yeah, this is analyzing the second of the two verses about those who go to Vaikuntha and are not interested to hear anything else. Yad Vaikuntham. Yad cha no asmakam uparistitam vrajanti. Nap sprihaniya shila iti va. The word in the second verse is there. Second line. Naha sprihaniya shilaha. Naha. Which would be, in this case, the sixth case, possessive case of the substitute for asmakam, our, of us. The substitute abbreviated form is naha, of us. Jiva Goswami says about this, to which Vaikuntha, which is situated above us. The word upari is there in the verse 2. Upari nak, it says. So one way of reading it is that upari nak means above us. They go to that Vaikuntha which is situated above us. Who's speaking? This is Shukadev speaking. No, it's Maitreya speaking. Yeah, so Maitreya is telling this to Vidura. Now, or else, another way to read the same words, the word naha, the ones who go there are, wait, or else naha indicates that their character is admirable by us. Because the word before naha is upari, but the word after naha is sprihaniya shila. So the other way to read naha is means that their character is admirable by us. By us. Although actually naha is not third case. It's either second, fourth, or sixth case, right? But you can read it as by us. Especially Spihani is a Krinanta. Can that, does that Krinanta take Which? Meaning. Yeah, but this is yeah, Spihani is passive. Karmani Prayoga, so this is the Karta, which would normally be in the third case, Anupta Karta. But is in the sixth case because it's a Krinanta. There's some Kridantas that are accepted for that rule, but this is not Tavyap Sprihaniya, to be desired or desirable, is not on the exception list. So instead of putting the subject, the passive subject, in the third case, you put it in the sixth case, according to that rule. So naha, sixth case, possessive. Anyway. Another way to read it. Dure yamo ye shamte. Siddhatvena duri krita yamaniyama santo va vrajanti. Or else, the ones who go there are those by whom discipline is kept far away. That means for whom major and minor regulations are kept at a distance because they are already perfect. They're already perfect, so they don't have to worry about discipline. That's duri yama, vrajanti. The verb goes with that. Then, Bartur mitak suyashashak, those are the words, ityanena tatavidaya bhaktir moksha sukha tiraskaritva prasiddhik suchita. The words, with one another, the amazing glories of their master. The verb that goes with that is... There is no verb more than that. It's just they, because of their affection, for their attraction to the topics of the all-famous Lord, they're disturbed and their eyes are full of tears and their hair stands on end. So the phrase, with one another the amazing glories of their master, allude to the well-known fact that devotional service eclipses the happiness of liberation. They're, by discussing those amazing glories, they're experiencing these ecstatic symptoms, which even the liberated Brahmavadis don't experience. And this fact that devotional service eclipses the happiness of liberation is said by Sanaka, those four Kumaras that we're talking about. They themselves say it elsewhere. No, they say it later in this chapter. They say to Narayan when they meet him. Natyandikam vigamayantyapi ityadau yenga twad angri sharana bhavatakataya kirtanya tirta yashashat pulasa rasagyaha iti sanakari uktehe. As devotional service eclipses the happiness of liberation, as is stated by Sanaka and his brothers in the verse beginning, they do not care at all for even ultimate liberation. And that continues with the words, "Who take shelter of your lotus feet, my dear Lord, and who are expert in relishing in discussions about you, the transcendental taste of your praiseworthy glories, which are themselves like a place of pilgrimage." Okay. And that's the end of the underchain. Sri Brahma Devan. The verses under discussion, Bhavatam 3:15, 23 to 25, were spoken by Sri Brahma to the demigods, those two verses. Maitreya is narrating it, but he's telling how Brahma said this to the demigods, who were in anxiety about the birth of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They went to Brahma for help, and he consoled them with these words. Now the commentary. Perfectly, yes, Prabhu?
Since that you don't have a reference for the second book,
it's the same verse, I think. I took it as the same verse. Let me see. 3:15:48. Oh boy, something's wrong here. 15:48. Okay. Here's the. Yeah. See, the verse is. I think I quoted it in the commentary too. Hold on.
Yes.
No, I don't quote it. But anyway, here's the verse. Natyantikam viganayant apite prasaram kim manyad arpita bayam bruva unnayaiste. And then the second half of the verse. Yenga twarangvi sharana bhavatat pataya kirtanya tirta yashashat kushalara sagya. I'll read the translation. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. And then the second half of the verse, such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. That certainly tells us the opinion that the happiness of devotional service is beyond the eclipses the happiness of liberation. Okay? It's the same verse. What's missing? Okay. All right, that's the end of the other chain. Do we have any questions? Okay, if not, I'll move ahead. Another reason, another one on the list of nine reasons why devotional service is why Vaikuntha is transcendental. And that is the reason Satchit Ananda Rupatvam. That it, Vaikuntha, is a manifestation of eternity, pure consciousness, and bliss. Satchit Ananda. Okay, that's stated in 13, in 11th canto, 20th chapter. evam etam mayadishtan anutishtanti me pataha shemam vidnanti matstanam yad brahma paramam vidu. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
Commentary.
What about it? I didn't read it. I didn't read the commentary. Okay, I can read the commentary. Go back and read the commentary for 67. Perfectly pure devotees of the Lord do not necessarily abandon the regulated practice that needs to be followed by imperfect candidates. They don't necessarily give up those regulations. The perfected devotees want to set a good example. And the obligatory practices of bhakti yoga are actually very pleasurable for those who have the higher taste. But the rules and regulations of the sadhana bhakti discipline do not impose themselves by force on those who are already perfect. So that's how we understand the sense of dure yama. The regulations stay at a respectful distance. If they want to follow the regulations, they can, and they usually do want to. Sanaka and his three brothers are examples of such already perfect devotees, whose attraction to the Supreme Lord and his service was spontaneous. They didn't practice sadhana bhakti. They practiced their jnana and yoga. And then when they reached Vaikuntha, they met Sword Orion and smelled the tulsi leaves at his feet. They jumped immediately to spontaneous attraction. Haribo. Come in. They visited Vaikuntha on a... Okay. They... They visited Vaikuntha on a whim, not expecting anyone to restrict them. And when they met the Supreme Lord in person, the fragrance of the tulsi leaves on his feet awakened their potential love for him. And in the prayers they then offered Lord Narayan, their words testify that pure devotees are not attracted by anything irrelevant to his devotional service, not even liberation from birth and death. Okay, here's your second chance. Any questions on 67? No? Okay, we go back into 68. Okay, we had this verse. That Vaikuntha is a manifestation of eternity, pure consciousness, and bliss is spoken in this verse from chapter 20. Of the 11th canto. Persons who seriously follow these paths for achieving me, which paths I have personally taught, attain my all auspicious abode, which they understand to be itself the supreme absolute truth. Okay, now explaining that verse. Me pataha. Anutishnanti me pataha. Me pataha, jnana karma bhakti lakshanan mat prapt upayan. Jnana karma norapi bhakteshu bhakte pratamatak kwachit kadachit kinchit sahaya karitvat. The so called paths of achieving me pataha, are the ways of achieving me, including jnana, karma, and bhakti. Since jnana and karma are also some help, sometimes, in some circumstances, for devotees in the beginning of devotional service. So Jiva Goswami says it this way. Rupa Goswami has said in the Bhakti Goswami Nisimha that jnana and vairagya are never angas of devotional service. They're never directly involved in devotional service. But Jiva Goswami expresses it that sometimes, in some circumstances, in some certain ways, jnana and karma can be helpful for beginning devotees. Is that okay? Yes?
When you say by karma, is it those the activities what you perform in devotional service, like Prabhupada translation?
No, that is devotional service. If you remove all the activities from devotional service, you're removing most of devotional service. Most of devotional service involves activities. Especially if you understand that the mind also is active. Even to meditate is an activity. So if you expanded the meaning of karma to mean all activities, then not doing karma would mean not doing devotional service.
So what is the meaning of jnana karma dena? What is the karma
of this? Okay, why don't you hold on? Let's get to the end of this paragraph and then we'll discuss that. Okay, anyway, the paths of achieving me are the ways of achieving me, including jnana, karma, and bhakti. Since jnana and karma are also some help, sometimes, in some circumstances, for devotees in the beginning of devotional service. Kshemam, madbhakti mangalamayam, yatstanam, paramam brahmeti vidur, jananti. This auspicious place, that's Vaikuntha, full of the auspiciousness of my devotional service, they, the devotees, the persons who are seriously following the path of achieving me, they understand as the Supreme Absolute Truth. They understand that that place, Vaikuntha, is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Itam ev odaharishyate cha. The following will be cited later on. And that is, I mean, later on in the Sandarbha. No, later on, sorry, in the 11th, it says 10:28. Now we got a problem. It says later on, it's cited, but it's from the 10th canto. It's earlier in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, let me see what that means. Let's just read it first. It says, this will be, that's in the future, this will be quoted. And what will be quoted is two verses from the 10th canto, 28th chapter. Iti sanchintya bhagavan mahakaruniko vibhuhu darshayam asalokam swam gopanam tamasatparam satyam jnanam anantam yad brahma jyotik sanatanam yadhi pashyanti munayo gunapaye samahitaha. Okay, what will be cited later on is, thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed to the cowherd men his abode, Vaikuntha, or Goloka, which is beyond material darkness. He revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is real existence and consciousness, unlimited. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance, when their consciousness is free from the modes of material nature. So the two verses say that Krishna showed his own planet to the cowherds, and that planet is Satyam Jnanam Anantam, is the Absolute Truth. Brahmandagat. This is not a Krur, this is a...
Krishna took all the residents of Vrindavan.
To a Krur, okay, yeah, and there he showed Goloka to them. Yes. This is just before the Rasa dance. This is the first chapter before the beginning of Rasa Leela. When he rescued Nanda Maharaj from Varuna's abode. Yes. Okay, now. Ubayatrapi Chakarad Yavadyahara Adinatu Ardantaram Kashtam Bhavati. In both these statements, it would be an awkward complication to construe a different meaning by inserting implied words like and. That means, you may say, oh, Vaikuntha and the Absolute Truth are two different things. He showed him Vaikuntha, and then he also showed him the Absolute Truth. But you'd have to imply a word and that isn't there, which is awkward. It's an unnecessary complication. Better just read it and show them Goloka Yud, which is the Absolute Truth. That's the way the words read. Tireva cha tamasat prakritek param iti vaikunta siyapi visheshanatvena vyakyata iti. And it is as a characterization. It is as a characterization of Vaikuntha, moreover, that the Venerable Sridhar Swami has presented his explanation when he said, tamasa prakritek param, beyond darkness, namely beyond material nature. The words in the verse say tamasa param. Sridhar Swami says tamasa means prakriti, material nature, that the world he showed them was transcendental. Okay, that's Sridhar Swami. Jiva Goswami just says tire. It's been explained by them. That's plural, respectful, third person. That's referring to Sridhar Swami. Jiva Goswami usually doesn't refer to Sridhar Swami by name. He quotes him so often, he just says he or they said say this. Or this is the Tika. And we have to understand that Jiva Goswami is quoting Sridhar Swami's Tika, which he does hundreds of times. Okay, Sri Bhagavan. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 11:20:37, was spoken by the Personality of Godhead. Okay, the Anuchet is about the verse from the 11th canto, 20th chapter. Oh, those who follow my instructions, the path of my devotional service, go to my place, which is Brahma Paramam. That's 11:20:37. And then this other verse from chapter 28 of the 10th canto was quoted to support the idea. Now, yeah, it doesn't say, one thing I'm confused about here, Eva Odarishyate, it will be in the future quoted. These two verses about the cowherd seeing Goloka. What does that mean? Where in the future? And I don't mention it in the commentary. I'm sorry? I got it. Here, it's the first sentence of the commentary. Okay, let's read it. Commentary says, the description of Krishna's showing Vaikuntha to the cowherds of Raja will be cited and discussed at length in Sri Krishna Sandarbha text 116, which is apparently a long one. That hasn't been translated yet. Shukadeva Goswami's words in this passage echo the Vedic hymns. That means these two verses about Krishna, about the cowherd seeing Goloka, those words echo the Vedic hymns. Satyam, Gyanam, Anantam Brahma. The Absolute Truth is real existence and consciousness, unlimited. That's a well-known statement of the Taittiriya Upanishad, 2.7. And then also, Paramam Padam. There's the statement, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, Sada Pashyanti Surayaha. The inspired poets always look to that supreme abode of Vishnu. Is from a sukta of the Rig Veda, 1.2.20. Yeah, the two verses of the 10th canto say Lokam Swami, showed his planet. But that is echoing the idea of
Vishnu Paramam Padam, the supreme place of Vishnu, from the Rig Veda. Continuing, defining Brahma as Satyam Jnanam Anantam is almost equivalent to using the other common Vedic term Satchit Ananda. All that is missing in the first phrase is Brahman's third quality, Ananda, bliss. But this is made up for by Ananda's being the main topic of the section of the Upanishad which Satyam Jnanam Anantam introduces. The Taittiriya Upanishad doesn't mention Ananda in the beginning of that section. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. It only mentions Satyam and Jnanam, and that it's unlimited. But if you read a little bit further in that part of the Taittiriya Upanishad, it's all about Ananda. That's the main topic. Okay. All right. Continuing the commentary. In the way Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami read these verses of the 10th canto, Vaikuntha is described with the qualities of impersonal Brahman. Because the Brahmajyoti, or realm of impersonal light, is nothing more than an external extension of the Vaikuntha atmosphere. So whatever Brahmajyoti has is coming from Vaikuntha anyway. The qualities of Brahman are included in Vaikuntha. But hardcore impersonalists prefer to give Brahman priority above the kingdom of God, and so might interpolate a few extra words in the second verse to make it seem that they were two separate visions. Krishna first showed Vaikuntha, and then secondly showed impersonal Brahman. That's how the Mayavadis would like to read that part of that section in the 28th chapter of the 10th canto. In Srila Jiva Goswami's opinion, however, doing this involves uncalled for convolutions of grammatical interpretation. Srila Sridhar Swami prefaces his commentary on these verses by identifying Swam Lokam, his own world, as Vaikuntha. Swam Brahma Sarupam Lokam Vaikuntakyam Cha. Sridhar Swami says, and he showed his own world, the absolute truth itself, known as Vaikuntha. That's Sridhar Swami's way of reading it. Okay, any questions on 68? Yes, Swami, you have one first?
How is it possible that somebody can just insert a few words in the verse and then make his own interpretation? Like in this case, they just end
up. Well, we're doing it all the time. Sometimes words, remember we do our verses, sometimes we have to insert words. There's no verb, we have to put a bhavati. But the subject's not there, we have to take the subject from some other sentence. There's a lot of times when you have to understand that words that are not there are implied. So the Mayavadis are just doing what we do. They're adding the word and, you know, assuming that it must be there. There must be two separate statements. He showed him Vaikuntha, and he showed him Brahmajyoti, or Brahman.
It is because this interpretation, our interpretation, doesn't fit the philosophy, and therefore they will change.
Yeah, they want to make it more complicated. When you start implying things, this is in the methodology of Mimamsa. The strongest evidence for the real meaning of a statement is the literal syntax, what the words that are there are saying. Then, if that doesn't work, then you have to supplement the understanding by understanding something's implied there. And there's five different levels of implication that, anyway, I don't remember them all, but these, but the more you have to imply, the less likely, the weaker the guess is. The best interpretation is the one, the most likely interpretation is always the one that's based just on the literal meaning of the words. You're on weaker ground when you have to start guessing that something's implied. And the more you have to guess that's implied, the weaker your interpretation is. But sometimes there's no way to put together a complete statement without having something implied. That's not the case here. It makes perfect sense without adding a word "and." That's the thing. Without adding any words, any implied words, it makes perfect sense. But it's telling us that Vaikuntha is the absolute truth. And the Mayavadis don't want to accept that. Vaikuntha is a place. It's a visible place. It's full of duality. Therefore, as far as the Mayavadis is concerned, it can't be the absolute truth. And to avoid accepting that it's the absolute truth, they'll add all sorts of implied ideas. But that's just deviant. They should just accept what the Bhagavatam says on face value. Yes?
And also in this case of that idea of Krishna sesam jnanam anantam, surely imply sesam jnanam anantam?
No. The ananda's there. So the explanation is that there's plenty of ananda. You have to wait a few sentences and Taittiriya Upanishad will be talking about ananda. A few sentences after that. Okay, so there's no need to reinterpret it.
Ananda means endless, very great, or one who possesses ananta.
Yeah? No, but ananta something, it could be ananta anything. It's not necessarily ananta doesn't mean ananda. It could be someone who has, countless bills to pay. Maybe anything. But the ananda is there. The Taittiriya Upanishad talks plenty about ananda, just not in that sentence. That's all. That's the name of the Lord of Vaikuntha.
That means the place, and he is not different.
Not necessarily. It's common and is recognized by Panini, by the grammar, that the king can have the name of the place. The place was there thousands of years before he was born. The kingdom was there. But as long as he's the king, he's called Magadha. He's the king of Magadha, he's called Magadha. Not non-different, because Magadha is a lot older than he is. The country is a lot older than the king is. They're not exactly the same thing, but the king can be named after the country, yes? Yes. So it's actually a separate word. There's a suffix you add to Vaikuntha that means the Lord of Vaikuntha, right? The king of Vaikuntha. But the suffix is invisible. It turns into it doesn't change the word. It's like Vaikuntha plus zero equals Vaikuntha. It's not technically the same word. It has a zero or invisible suffix on it. It's actually a separate word. Vaikuntha, the place, and then the other word, Vaikuntha, the king of Vaikuntha. Although the words look the same. Okay, we go on to the next nano chain. Yes? This is Bhagavat Sandarbha, the second Sandarbha, about halfway through, or almost two-thirds of the way through. We're discussing the transcendental nature of Vaikuntha. That Krishna, not only him and his body and his qualities are all transcendental, but his place is also transcendental. That's the discussion here. The commentary I wrote, there is no commentary, I wrote the commentary.
It's a translation.
It's a translation of the text, plus a commentary. I wrote the commentary, yeah.
You don't remember who did it?
There is none.
Commentary, that's not...
There is no commentary available for this Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Sixty-nine.
Thank you.
And these are which grade?
Second and third, and a couple of first year students who aren't obliged to be here, but they're just sitting in.
So this is for everybody?
It's not mandatory for the first year students. And most of them are too busy with their grammar to come, but a few came.
So 1 hour?
Yeah, 50 minutes.
You do recording?
Yeah, he's got a recording.
Thank you.
Lokanath Maharaj ki jai.
They don't have tanks in front when he wants to remove. That could be helpful if there was a printout.
We can't print it up because it's still being edited. If it gets in the wrong hands, it'll be bootlegged. We got some computer copies, but nothing printed.
And that would help if they hear and look at
it. Yeah, but Gargar Muni's trying to get a hold of it. Text 69. Tataiva. Well, actually, it's 16 after. We only have 4 minutes. Any questions or comments? I'll just wrap it up. We're supposed to stop at 20 after. Any general things? Yes. There was a question that I didn't answer about. I will get to it. But your question. Well, no, we understand he actually showed Goloka. This Goloka is also Vaikuntha. It's not that we're talking about Vaikuntha and none of it applies to Goloka. It all applies also to Goloka. So I didn't even say that. Maybe it's confusing. Everyone will say, wait a minute, didn't Krishna show him Goloka? But Goloka is special Vaikuntha. Well, the commentators tell us that he showed Goloka. But they may have thought just Vaikuntha. All they know is Vaikuntha. So they thought they were seeing Vaikuntha, but they were actually seeing Goloka. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. 1 second. We have a pending question.
When you speak about this karma and jnana.
Karma jnana and anavartam.
What is the meaning? Which jnana, which karma it talks about?
Well, no, but the thing is, we're talking about the ordinary processes of karma and jnana, yes?
I want to add one more thing. Sometimes devotees feel that if you are studying too much or, sitting in the books all the time, say, even that's Bhagavatam, it could be also jnana. So what is that factor which even the bhakti literatures could be jnana?
It's a subtle thing. Anyway, karma and jnana are separate processes. There are different ways of improving oneself or trying to become spiritual by ritual activities or by cultivation of knowledge. And bhakti is a third different kind of activity. What Rupa Goswami says to define pure devotional service is not that there's no karma and no jnana. He says that karma and jnana don't predominate. They have to stay subordinate. But they're used in devotional service. We study about Krishna, we learn about him, we learn about the material world in the Bhagavatam. This is jnana. What's the difference between a description of what Maya is in the Bhagavatam and a description about what Maya is in the Upanishad? They're both jnana. But this is jnana
strictly in the service of bhakti, not independent. And karma, activities, so many activities. We do rituals too, we do puja, we do yajnas. This is karma, but karma only strictly under the, you know, subordinate and serving bhakti. Otherwise, Rupa Goswami would say, no karma, no jnana, period. But he said, not covered by karma or jnana.
When you say this Navida Bhakti, like Shavanam Kirtanam, these are the activities, but they are referred to be bhakti.
Well, those are the direct, you know, immediate activities of bhakti. Other things can serve those nine.
Is there any example of karma which is helping the bhakti which we are calling as?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're supposed to hear, and you have wax in your ears, and you can't hear it. So you go and get the wax taken out of your ears. That's an activity, but it's supporting devotional service. We get up in the morning and brush our teeth. We do various things. Those are karmas, but they're serving devotional service. So many examples. We don't only hear and chant and neglect everything practical. We have to do practical things also. Many of them are under the category of karma. But we're doing it to serve devotional service, to facilitate devotional service. Now the other part, the other thing you asked about is... something else.
Scriptures reading.
Oh yeah, yeah, about devotees. How do you decide, you know, in our lives, how do we decide when karma and jnana are getting too prominent? These are practical questions, and really it should be decided by our spiritual authorities. We're doing devotional service under guidance. Like a doctor has to tell you. We know to take the medicine, but the doctor has to decide how much to take and when to stop. He has to examine, if it's a dangerous medicine, he has to keep you under supervision in the hospital. And tell every few hours how much dosage to increase or decrease the dosage. Like that, we have to practice. If we're going to use karma and jnana, like poisonous, dangerous medicine, it can be poisonous. So we need to be under constant supervision, whether to increase or decrease the dose of karma or jnana. You know, we can't decide for ourselves. But also, you know, our god brothers shouldn't be harassing us because we've been asked to study, our guru asked us to study, and our guard brothers are wondering, what is he doing anyway? He's just sitting there doing nothing. You know, we have to follow the guidance of spiritual authority, and we should allow one another to do it. One devotee is told to study, another devotee is told to work, but they're both acting authorized, and they should both have respect for each other's different service. I'm sorry, what else? Okay, now we stop. It's after, it's 10:23. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.